Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of eLaborate Topics. It is your weekly podcast that provides practical and professional tips that you can use inside and outside of the laboratory to expand your leadership and technical knowledge. Today's episode is one that you definitely want to hear, especially if you are a new manager and you have a variety of personalities on your team and you are trying to figure out how to make your team work cohesively, how to make your team more productive, then you will want to hear these tips today as we talk about this pressing topic of office politics. I am Tywana Wilson. I am your host and leadership mentor for this episode. As you know, eLaborate Topics is a weekly podcast that streams on directimpactbroadcasting.com, your favorite podcast platforms, as well as LabVine's LabStream. So make sure you check out each and every episode. We have over 150 episodes in our catalog. So make sure you check it out. Follow myself along with my co-hosts, Lona Small and Stephanie Whitehead on social media, on LinkedIn, or join our eLaborate Topics LinkedIn group. So let's jump into this prevalent topic of office politics that affects nearly every workplace. Office politics refers to the interactions, power struggles, and informal networks that exist within an organization. While some employees thrive in this environment, others might find it challenging and disruptive. And I don't know about you, but when there is office politics happening, for me, it does get a little bit disruptive and challenging. In our unique environment of the laboratory, it becomes even more crucial for managers and leaders to understand the various personalities that can influence team dynamics. By gaining insights into these personalities and learning effective strategies to manage them, you as the manager or leader can foster a positive and productive work atmosphere that enhances the success of our teams. I wanted to talk about this topic because I'm often receive messages, emails from new managers about this very thing of being new in their role and trying to navigate the different personalities. I can remember as a new manager, when I first got my first managerial role, I can remember having different personalities. And I was like, I didn't learn this in laboratory school. And so it was different transitioning that technical knowledge and leadership to being able to manage people and deal with the different personalities. As we think of the laboratory and our environment, how complex it is, where precision, collaboration, and innovation are paramount, office politics can have a profound impact on our ability to achieve our goals. And most laboratories today have tons of goals, metrics, that you have your strategic dashboards that you're trying to accomplish, and you need every member on that team contributing to the goal. Each member on our team, however, possess unique job skills and office personalities contributing to the intricate fabric of our workplace. While many of the personalities are tolerable and even uplifting, making us want to go to work each and every day, allowing us to say we have those friends at work or those best friends at work, others may exhibit behaviors that have negative impacts and effects on our colleagues and hinder overall team performance. As managers, it is our responsibility to understand these different personality types and develop the necessary skills to effectively handle them in the workplace. In this episode, I will talk about various office personalities commonly encountered in the lab and explore strategies to be able to give you some tips to effectively manage them. And by equipping ourselves with this knowledge, we can create a supportive and harmonious work environment that cultivates strong relationships, facilitates goal attainment, and prepares our team forward, which I know for you as a new manager learning about your role and getting acclimated to that, that it's going to be impactful to be able to create those teams that are dynamic and able to move your laboratory forward. So let's get started and talk about some of these common types that you may encounter in your laboratory. The first type is the complainer. In the lab, a complainer might constantly complain about the workload, feeling overwhelmed by the sheer number of samples to run and process every day, or meeting the tight deadlines and turnaround times of stat testing. They might voice their dissatisfaction with the equipment provided. They may talk about how maintenance heavy it is, or they may talk about it being outdated, old, not efficient to handle the workload. And as a manager, it's important for you, when you have these complainers, to be able to address their concerns by providing reassurance, discussing workload distribution strategies, or exploring some potential solutions to improve their work environment. So be able to offer those solutions and ask them for some solutions to some of their claims if they have stated. How many of you have worked with a complainer in your laboratory? It seems like it doesn't matter how many process improvement ideas you put into place. If you get new equipment, they are always complaining. And so hopefully some of those tips of being able to work with the complainer will be helpful for you. We also have the gossiper. In our settings, a gossiper may spread rumors or share confidential information about colleagues or even ongoing projects. They may engage in conversations centered around personal lives or sensitive topics. And if you have these gossipers in your laboratory, it is important for you to be able to talk with them so that and emphasize that that is not acceptable in your environment. It's crucial for you as the manager to discourage gossip and establish clear communication guidelines. Encourage employees who work on the bench with the gossiper, who hear the gossiper doing the gossip, to report any instances of gossip and to emphasize the importance of maintaining a professional and respectful work environment. Now, that part might be a little difficult in getting the team to actually come to you and actually tell you, but I think setting the expectation that gossip is not appropriate and setting the expectation to your team that if somebody is gossiping, that they should let you know right away. Now, like I said, it may or may not happen, but I think you set that expectation, because that's the thing that you don't want, is somebody gossiping in the work environment, because it will potentially have an impact on your other staff. And some staff members may decide that they don't want to work in an environment like that, because gossiping can contribute to a toxic work environment. So I've seen it where people were gossiping in the work environment and an employee felt uncomfortable, and eventually they ended up leaving the organization and finding another place to work. And so with environments where we are already short staffed and the workload is still high, you definitely do not want your laboratorians to be leaving your organization due to gossip. The next personality is the bully. The bully may exhibit aggressive behavior towards their colleagues, undermining their work, or even making derogatory comments. They might try to exert control over others, diminishing their confidence or belittling their achievements. How many of you have worked with a bully in your environment before? I know I have. I've worked with a bully, and it seems like the team would just kind of stay out of their way. And they would say things like, that's the way that person is, that's the way that they are. But as a manager, it's essential to address bullying promptly and privately. Implementing a zero tolerance policy for bullying and provide support to the person who could have been bullied while addressing the bully's behavior through disciplinary actions and or coaching is necessary, because you don't want to have somebody being a workplace bully and it doesn't seem like you as the manager is addressing the behavior. So more than likely, if you're part of a hospital or a larger system, there is a policy in regards to bullying, but you should also have a laboratory policy that addresses bullying as well. Your negative Ned or Nancy. A negative Ned or Nancy in the lab may consistently express pessimism about some of the work that you are doing, the testing, the projects, or the overall direction of the team. They might be quick to point out potential flaws or failures, disregarding the progress made or any positive outcome. Does this sound familiar as you're looking around? Do you have some negative Nancys or negative Neds on your team? As a manager, it's important to maintain a positive and realistic outlook, provide constructive feedback, and encourage a problem-solving mindset. Offer opportunities for open discussions and provide evidence-based reasoning to counter their negative perspective. You often see these negative Ned and Nancys pop up, especially if there is tons of change in the work environment. It could be a time in the environment where maybe you are reinstituting an idea that maybe you tried 5 years ago, or maybe 7 years ago. But these negative Nancys always seem to remember, and they remember, well, it didn't work last time, and it's not going to work this time. And sometimes when implementing change, it could be that the idea was not a good idea, or it could be it was not the right time for that idea to be implemented. So you could have those negative Ned and Nancys in the environment, and as their manager, offering those opportunities for discussion and offering them that evidence-based reasoning when they come with this isn't going to work, we've tried this before type of an attitude. You have your information keeper. An information keeper might possess extensive knowledge about various lab techniques or protocols or equipment, but tends to keep it to themselves. They may hoard information, making it challenging for other team members to access or learn from their expertise. So these information keepers want all of the knowledge to themselves. And that is a personality that you will encounter as well in our environment, where somebody wants to keep all of the information, because it used to be a perspective that if you had all of the information about a certain topic, then you would be the expert of that, and that you would be indispensable, meaning that the organization wouldn't be able to go on without you. And that's kind of an old mindset of, you know, of you being the only one with the knowledge. So as a manager, it's essential to encourage knowledge sharing and collaboration, acknowledging their expertise, but also emphasizing the importance of teamwork and creating a supportive learning environment. Realize it's all right to ask for their help of this expert or this go-to, but don't let them control the situation, which sometimes happen. It could be one of those, like, they need me. I'm the only one that can do this, or I'm the only one that knows this certain task or knows about this certain discipline in the laboratory. So encouraging knowledge sharing within your team. I once worked with a person that had tons of expertise and they had all of their knowledge. It was in their head, wasn't really written anywhere. And one of the things that I mentioned to them as they were thinking about retiring or leaving the organization was that, what will your legacy be when you leave the organization? Will it be one of those where you took all of your information with you and it was difficult for the next person coming behind to be able to understand what was going on, or they were starting from ground zero? So as a manager, understanding when you have these information keepers and being able to work with them in a way so that they feel empowered to share their information and not feel like they have to hold on to their information. The know-it-all. A know-it-all is someone who believes they have superior knowledge and skills in their specific area. They may be highly skilled and knowledgeable, but their tendency to dominate conversations and diminish or dismiss others' input can create tension and hinder effective teamwork. As a manager, when you have these know-it-alls in the environment, acknowledge their expertise while encouraging them to listen and value the contributions of their colleagues. Keep them focused on the task or information needed. Foster an environment where knowledge is shared and diverse perspectives are respected. So one person doesn't need to have all the knowledge. And when you have these people that come off as knowing it all, figure out a way in which you can use that perspective to the advantage of the laboratory. So while everybody's contributions are important, making sure that this person understands that and are contributing to the environment. And maybe the knowledge or the know-it-all person can help with training, so that they can feel empowered to share their knowledge, but work with them so that they don't come off as if they are belittling or dismissing anybody. You also have your passive aggressive personality in the laboratory. A passive aggressive employee in the lab may express their frustrations indirectly, making it challenging for others to address their concerns directly. For example, they might make sarcastic remarks about their workload, they could procrastinate on important tasks, or exhibit resistance to new processes or changes. Their behavior can create tension and negatively impact team dynamics. So sometimes as lab people and not necessarily liking conflict, sometimes laboratorians can be passive aggressive. And as a, not all, but I have seen it where, you know, you have some passive aggressive laboratorians in the environment. And as a manager, it's crucial to encourage open and honest communication, creating a safe and inclusive space where employees feel comfortable expressing their concerns or frustrations directly, provide constructive feedback, address issues promptly, and promote a culture of transparency and collaboration. So making sure that these people, when they express their frustrations, that there is a mechanism in place so that they feel that they can express those concerns directly. So providing them that feedback in a culture of transparency and collaboration. The last personality that I'll leave you with in this episode is the nosy neighbor. The nosy neighbor is someone who frequently intrudes on personal matters, asks intrusive questions, and shows excessive interest in the personal lives of their colleagues. While they may believe they are being friendly or helpful, their behavior can invade personal boundaries. And as a manager, promoting professionalism and respect among team members is going to be important when working with this personality. When asked personal questions, try to shift their focus back to work-related matters, set clear boundaries regarding personal discussions at work, and encourage employees to focus on work-related matters while fostering a sense of camaraderie. So on your journey as a new manager, these are just some of the personalities that you will encounter in the laboratory. Hopefully the information I provided was enough for you to be able to look at your teams and see what kind of personalities that you have within the work environment. And some of the tips will help you navigate those personalities as you continue to get comfortable in your role. I'll also leave you with a few tips or best practices that you can implement with dealing with any of these personalities so that you can be successful. Remember to build relationships, take the time to establish rapport, and build relationships with each team member individually. Get to know their strengths, their work preferences, and communication styles. This will help you better understand their personalities and foster a positive work environment. So if you don't conduct one-on-ones or do rounding, these may be ways that you are able to start to build those relationships. As a manager, you always have to lead by example, demonstrating the professionalism, respect, and positive behavior in all interactions, where you set the tone for a collaborative and supportive culture within the lab. I was reading a book by John Maxwell, and he always talks about modeling the behavior. So model the behavior in which you desire to see, which is leading by example. Communicate openly. Encourage open and transparent communication within the team. Create a safe space where employees feel comfortable expressing their opinions, concerns, and ideas without the fear of judgment or retaliation. You want to address any issues promptly. When conflicts or issues arise, address them promptly and directly. Avoid allowing tensions to escalate, as they can negatively impact team dynamics and productivity. So you might have to get a colleague involved or your human resources department involved when issues are rising and tensions are escalating in the environment. So make sure that you address them promptly before it gets to that point. You want to practice active listening to your team members and show genuine interest in their perspectives. This will help you in understanding their needs, their concerns, their motivations, and fostering a sense of trust and support amongst your team. You want to be able to provide constructive feedback, offering regular feedback to your team members, both in terms of their strengths and their areas or opportunities for improvement. When you focus on that constructive criticism, that helps them grow professionally and it can address any disruptive behaviors that they may or may not be aware of. I have a friend that always says feedback is a gift. So when it's done with respect, when it's done with kindness, and somebody gives you feedback on your strengths or your behavior from a loving place, it does allow you to get better. As the manager, encourage collaboration. Fostering a collaborative environment where teamwork is valued and encouraged, setting clear expectations for collaboration, and establishing team goals that require collective effort and contribution. Setting boundaries, clearly define expectation and boundaries for acceptable behavior in the lab. This will help ensure a respectful and professional work environment for all team members. You want to offer development opportunities for professional development and growth tailored to each individual's strengths and interests. This will show that you value their contributions and are invested in their success. You always want to lead with empathy, recognizing that everyone has their own unique challenges and perspectives. We don't know what our team members are carrying or bringing to work with them each and every day. We don't always know the struggle or what's happening behind the scenes with our colleagues. So making sure that you lead with empathy, practicing empathy so that you are seeking to understand their experiences and demonstrating support when needed. You know, if you have one of your team members and they are usually always happy, they are contributing to the dynamics of the team, and all of a sudden they turn into a negative Ned or Nancy, this could be because something else is contributing to that behavior. If there are any conflicts in the environment, mediating those, when those conflicts arise between team members, act as a mediator and facilitate open dialogue to find a resolution. Don't take a side, encourage compromise, understanding, and focus on common goals. And if that's something that you need assistance with, your HR team should be able to help with that. And then the last thing would be seeking guidance and support. As a new manager, don't hesitate to seek guidance and support from experienced leaders or mentors or coaches. They can provide you valuable insights and advice on handling different personalities in the lab. They can give you insights on culture dynamics within your laboratory to help you get off to a fast start. To wrap up this episode, hopefully these examples illustrated how different personalities can manifest and present within your team. Hopefully the best practices as a new manager could be helpful for you. And as a new manager, it's crucial to be able to maneuver and address these personalities and office politics with tact, ensuring a harmonious and productive work environment. By setting clear expectations, fostering open communication, and promoting a culture of respect and collaboration, you can effectively manage these office personalities, any office politics that might come up, and you will create a positive atmosphere within your laboratory. And by doing so, it will create an environment that attracts new talent and retains the talent that you already have, which for most laboratories today, that would be ideal, being able to keep your talent. And so the only way to do this is to be able to navigate the various personalities, navigate office politics as it may arise. So this information will be helpful for new managers if you are a future manager that might be interested in one day leading the laboratory, being able to navigate these personalities will be helpful for you as well. So understanding how to do it and how to navigate and understanding some of the best practices will help you on your career and leadership journey. That is all I have for you for this episode. I hope you found it beneficial. I hope you go back to your laboratories and be able to implement some of these tips and strategies that I gave you so that you can create those dynamic teams who are able to propel your laboratory forward. Thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure you share it out from directimpactbroadcasting.com, your favorite podcast platform, or on LabVine's Lab Stream. Tune in next week where we will have another topic that will help you in your laboratory journey, or another mentor who will share some tips and strategies so that you can be successful. If you have a topic that you would like to hear, reach out to myself or my co-host, Lona Small or Stephanie Whitehead, with those topics. If you would like to be on this podcast, we would love to have you. Just submit our guest interest form, or you can email elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com, and we would love to hear from you. Until next time, my friends, have an awesome week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.